Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh my, please stay home, us. Please stay home. It's okay to be alone. Please stay home. Oh God, please stay home. Please stay home. It's okay to be alone. Please stay home. Welcome to Churros, everybody. Please stay home. If you need to go to Mercadona, go to Mercadona. If you live in Barcelona, there's no toilet paper. And then the zona, put a stembe. Oh God, please stay home. This Churros episode brought to you by the lovely group Stay Homas from right here from Barcelona. Three fantastic musicians that during the confinement period became, I mean, they blew up. They blew up. They went worldwide famous all over the world with that song. It went viral. And like I said, they're touring now. They're selling out shows worldwide all over the world. And I'm meeting them tomorrow. I have the great pleasure to be filming them with them an episode of Blue and Red. I'm very excited for it. And that's why I'm doing the intro, because that has me happy. That has me excited. Kian insisted on me doing the intro. I said, I'll do the intro, but it's not going to be rolling off many churros because, quite frankly, when it comes to Barça's first team, the Barça man first team, there's not a whole lot to be cheering about. But there is, of course, about many other of the sections of Barcelona. Barça is a multi-deportivo, right? A club with many sporting sections and divisions. Congratulations to the Barça women team for winning the very first Champions League. The club's very first Champions League, of course, beating Chelsea in the final 4-0 was an absolute, spectacle of the first half in particular. And just dominated from beginning to end. I watched it. I truly enjoyed it. So congratulations, Barça, now the only club in the world to have both won the Champions League men's division and the women's division. So congratulations to the club. Too bad also, Kian, for Barça B and Castilla, for that matter. Both teams didn't qualify. I watched that as well. That's the beautiful thing to be Rodriguez here. It's you say when you're alone, when your wife is gone, your family gone, estoy de Rodriguez. And it's been just a joy, pleasure to be able to watch a lot of football. And we're here to talk about that. And of course, the men's football as well, because it's been quite something in La Liga. Hay Liga todavía. There's still league to fight and play for, in particular for Real Madrid and Atlético de Madrid, the league leaders. There still is, Kian. There still is. And teams that are fighting for relegation, in fact, and or teams fighting for Europe. In that case, it couldn't be a better finish for that matter, a photo finish between Atlético, Real Madrid, and Valladolid, who are fighting for their lives, and Villarreal, who are fighting for Europe before the Europa League final. I think that's good enough of an intro for me. Kian, join me.
That was the intro? Oh, this madness. God. That was still the intro. Oh my God.
yo, I don't have many people to talk to. I'm all alone in this apartment, you know. So you're the first person I speak to in a week.
For no one to talk to. Listen. My intro, I'll just tell you my intro, what it would have been like. Welcome to the Churros y Tacticas podcast. That's it. That's all I got. I just think that there wasn't much to celebrate. Listen.
Oh, you're still in it, man. You're still in it.
It's really, look, if we win La Liga now.
You were leading the league at some point. I was on the edge party. Of my fucking seat going, no, no.
The one saving grace was Barca obviously losing and things long lay and Ter Stegen doing whatever they were doing. You know, so there was a period like before Suarez scores the winning goal for Atletico, it was just, you couldn't write a better script for us, Maravistas, man. Like, it was just, everything was happening for us. We had Longley and Ter Stegen doing just weird things in the Barca game. You had Messi rushing off to the tunnel, like, because, and then Koeman saying Messi is alone in attack. And then you had Suarez missing 300 bajillion chances in the Atleti game. You had Osasuna scoring. You had Nacho scoring in the in our game against Athletic. And then Luis Suarez. And for, well, first of all, was it Correa who scores the finishes the pass from João Felix, and then the Luis Suarez goal? And it's just like, ugh, sunk. And it's the hope that kills you. You know, it wouldn't have been as devastating if we weren't riding that little emotional high. But hey, maybe that's what makes this sport so beautiful. It was a crazy weekend in La Liga. And look, as you correctly mentioned, Barca women's team.
Wait, sorry, it wasn't Correa. It was Lodi. Lodi who scored the two.
Sorry, Lodi. Yeah, yeah. I got that one wrong. what is that a Nerf gun?
I just want to make sure I'm not agreeing and correcting you. That's
why. I got Nerf guns from my kids.
So you know I'm listening.
I got Nerf guns from my kids. And I only realized...
Don't you think they're too small?
I realized after... I fired it off. They're like, oh shit, my kids are way too small for this. They can't even pull the trigger. Yeah. And these Nerf guns are way more powerful now than they were when we were kids. So they're
like,
basically...
Like proper powerful.
They're literally guns at this point. They're just so...
But what is this? I am super pissed off with this. So I got my son a Nerf gun for Christmas, although we didn't give it until... his birthday because my wife refused. I came home with not one but two Nerf guns because I said, well, he can't be playing with it alone. His pops is going to need one to play with him or his friend. So I got two Nerf guns. They're massive. And my wife was like, no, that's, we're not giving him those. And then I dragged it out until his birthday. And yeah, they're powerful, but he's right now at the age where he can just about cock it. And then, you know, he's all right though. I'm more fanatic about the guns than he is.
So I just want to say before we get too much deeper into this topic that had Atletico lost on the weekend and Real Madrid won, I still would have pushed you to do the intro because I also watched that. I watched that women's Champions League final between Barca and Chelsea.
Oh,
and I was blown away by Barca's performance. So. Just an incredible, they are the saving grace of Barcelona right now. Incredible performance. They just toyed with Chelsea, who had no idea what to do with them mostly in that first. I didn't watch the second half as closely because I started to record a podcast at that time, but the first half was just an annihilation. And you guys should be very proud of that.
Listen, we are. And I've been lucky enough to at least keep up to date with the women's team because, you know, producing the news for Barca, you're obviously on top of all of the sections and everything. But quite honestly, I should have also maybe watched them more. Like, they have been a team that has been dominating the Spanish league, dominating their opponents to a point where even, you know, it's they're being asked in press conferences, like, don't you want more competition in the league? Or do you feel that you should be playing against better opposition in league? But because it's just every match day, it's just an annihilation. Sheer another domination and a goal scoring fest. And that was the only doubt, was whether this team, when it would face tougher, you know, sturdier opposition than the likes of PSG, Man City, Chelsea, Bayern, or Wolfsburg rather, in the Champions League, if they could actually compete with that. And they have, like, they've defeated some, you know, Lyon, or they didn't have to defeat Lyon this time, but PSG, City, PSV as well, and the team from Sweden, which I can't remember. But they've been in, you know, cruise mode, as in just convincingly beating their opposition and playing very interesting. Ulises Cortes, the coach, he's got a Barca-like style of football that we're, again, when they talk about how Barca have a style of football, it's true. They have this, you know, passing, moving type game that is just, it's a joy to watch when it's played at perfection. And you see with García Pimienta as well, you know, with the B team and lower categories, and it's look, it's great, it's great. And so I know one of our patrons mentioned that it was a shame that we didn't talk about it on the Friday podcast, and she's right. It slipped my mind, honestly. And the other thing is, Kian, this is honestly, and this is I don't feel necessarily good about saying this, but this was the first full women's match. No, that's not true. I saw one women's match before. I haven't watched a lot of women's football. That's probably why it didn't come up, because it's not on my top, you know, on top of my mind. And I watched this one from beginning to end, and I enjoyed it. It was a great match.
I actually would like to read that comment because I think it's worth reading. So Island Girl, our patron, says, "Hi guys, I just listened to the podcast," and she's referring to the Friday podcast. Thank you very much. But I have just a quick comment, especially directed at Diego. You guys won the league and are in the Champions League final. The first one without Lyon since 2015, and not one word. At this rate, it is no wonder women's football is not progressing when the fans and supporters don't even support that side in one of the greatest moments. And this Barca team rocks. But good, you talked about the B team. Forgive me, but I find it very frustrating. Maybe mention the results and the game in the next one, especially if they win the Champions League, even in just in passing. Thank you. You're right. No excuses. I actually feel a bit embarrassed about that, because we did spend so much time talking about the Sunday game. So we will try to do better. I will say, like, that I'd like to try to commit more to watching the women's football next season too, including Real Madrid Femenino, who have somehow managed to get second place now in the league, which is quite an accomplishment given that, you know, this club was only purchased like a couple years ago. And I can see Diego starting to get a little bit almost, I don't know, what's the word? What's your emotion right now? You feel a little bit kind of annoyed that I've shoehorned Real Madrid Femenino into this discussion about women's football, because what? You're like, what? Real Madrid Femenino second place?
No, the thing that I was thinking was like, I just find it funny how you could literally buy a team and just go, you're mine now. Let's go. You're king. You're not Real Madrid. Pray under this umbrella. What I find more interesting is the second Madrid team in Madrid, which were also they play in white, and it was founded by a guy who's a big Real Madrid supporter, socio as well, and his daughter wanted to play football, and he said, maybe I'm going to buy you a team and you can play on that team, and he started Real Madrid. And it's called not Real Madrid, obviously, but it's like, what is it called? Shit, I don't know. I need to look it up. But anyway, they play in white. It looks like they are the Real Madrid, and they are like the poor man's Real Madrid, let's say.
Well, they initially wore white to basically copy Real Madrid, because they're Real Madrid fans. You know, that was their way to pay tribute to Real Madrid, and they were the ones that a lot of people speculated would be the ones bought and not Tacón.
So you know the one I'm referring to.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, either way, Real Madrid Femenino have already surpassed them. I guess that's what money can do, and they've signed a lot of good players. I am thankful because, you know, with my schedule, and I know with your schedule working with Barca as well and doing this podcast, and, you know, I'm basically responsible for watching not only Real Madrid and a lot of Casilla, but also all of the players on loan, which include a lot of teams around Europe. I am thankful for a lot of the people who cover women's football, so that I can kind of keep up to tab with it. But either way, I was thoroughly impressed with Barca in that Champions League final. It was a one-way show. And Jenny Hermoso, Mertens, badasses, man. Complete badasses. Which really a testament to how crazy that Sunday was, because crack of dawn was the playoffs. So Barca B played. So... the Castilla game also, which I think we was at the same time, was completely heartbreaking for me that they lost that. And, well, drew, yeah, but
I watched that too.
Did you
watch that too? I watched, but I had everything going, man. I'm like, I was like full on sport for the whole weekend. It was great. And I got to tell you, I feel that Real Madrid was, or Castilla rather, got hard done by. They really got some bad calls not going their way.
Wow. And put this on pissed. Record.
Put it on record. Put that on wax.
No, Robo. No Clásico in Segunda, unfortunately, next season.
Yeah.
And would have been fun.
And then the Barça game. Did you see the Barça game?
No.
Like, it was the worst penalty, the tanda de penalties, the worst penalty shootout I've probably seen in my life. Like, it went to, like, not 16 penalties, but at least, what is it? It's 5-5? At least
5-4, it says on Google. Huh? They won 5-4? No, 5-4,
but I'm saying they went to almost like, you know, 10 or 12 penalties or something.
Oh,
they
really?
Took so many penalties. Yeah. There were so many misses. It was so crazy.
Also, this points to a very, very confusing, like, just rules that La Liga has for promotion, because we talked about this on the Sunday night podcast with the Castilla Corner Crew, where, like, Barca drew against Murcia and went to a penalty shootout. Real Madrid drew against Ibiza, but weren't allowed to go to the penalty shootout because of some seedings and stuff. Like, just get rid of this nonsense. Get rid of it.
I didn't even really bother finding out why. I was surprised by it. I was like, oh, okay.
It had to do with seeding, basically. Yeah. Any noteworthy? Oh, I see. Mingueza was in the Barca B team. Is that correct?
Yeah. Koeman let him play with the B team. Yeah. Zidane, great decision.
Zidane called up both Miguel Gutierrez and Antonio Blanco, two Castilla players that they could use on Sunday, but we won't go there right now. So, Diego, what did it feel like for you watching? I mean, basically because everyone played at the same time, we were all watching our own game, right? And just seeing like different screens would pop up, right? Yeah. So I was watching Real Madrid, and then they would show like highlights during the feed, and you were watching Barca, I assume, and Ewan was probably watching the Atleti game, all that, you know, everyone was watching their own team and seeing the updates. What was that experience like in your lens?
Honest, I'll be really honest, man. I was out with a friend catching up over gin tonics and tapas, and I had
I had
the games playing, motherfucker. Let me finish. And there were the games playing.
What is that?
Listen, motherfucker. You listen to me. I knew that I felt this coming, and I wanted the pain to be soothing and pleasant, and that's why I caught up with a really good friend who I haven't seen in ages, maybe like a year. And I was like, fuck it. I'm soltero. Estoy de Rodriguez. I'm single. I'm a bachelor. Gonna be out on a beautiful Sunday afternoon and watch these games over some good conversation, good company. I didn't want to be at home. So that's what I did. And I'll tell you, man, by the time all the drama unfolded, when, like Bob Marley said, when the music hits you, you feel no pain. And at that point, when the goals hit me from left and right, I felt the blows were easier to take at that point. Let's put it that way. Do you understand?
I'm trying to understand the Bob Marley quote.
When instead the music, of music
hitting, I don't know if it applies to your situation.
I'm metaphorically speaking.
I know.
It's just... So instead of the music hitting me, where, you know, the goals hitting me from left and right in Celta, in Atletico, in Madrid first, and I was feeling, you know, just depression, and like it was just despair and helplessness, borderline depression, to then it almost being comical, to then sheer ecstasy and joy where you're seeing my man Luis Suarez start banging him in and me become the biggest colchonero in the world. Thank God for that.
I should get that instead of a balloon.
For Sevilla. Yeah, right. Like, whether it first was Rakitic and Sevilla getting that penalty, and then, you know, Luis Suarez, the ex Barca boys are getting it done just to make sure that Madrid don't get their hands on this Liga trophy, because that would be a glass of cold water in the face.
Yeah, I mean, the only consolation prize for us on Sunday was the fact that Barca lost to Celta, which, you know, was on the cards in some ways, the way Celta have been playing.
But I certainly, in a
do or die game like that, I would have expected Barca to take care of business, to be quite honest with you, and they didn't.
Have you not seen us this season, Kian? Have you not been watching us play?
Yeah, but, you know,
count on Barca to go up on the scoreboard and play some pretty decent football to then deflate and, again, see just faces of – see the trauma hit the faces of the players and remember all the bad things that have happened to them in the past. And then the ghosts from the past come hunting this team, and as did Celta, thanks to – led by Santi Mina.
So I think this episode will be less tacticas and more churros, because how do you even analyze the games on Sundays? I'm not sure. I was pretty much a methodical note taker up until halftime of the Real Madrid game, maybe extended to the 60th minute. After that, it was just pure like figuring out what's going on. It's like, you know, it's like a big science lab and you have this screen and that screen and you're looking at, you know, different highlights and different emotions running through. You're not, forget tacticas at that point. It's just mostly churros. But I wanted to know what the, because again, I'm pretty, with the Barca Athletic games and really any game in La Liga, because they all happen at the same time, it's just a lot of reading and highlights and seeing what, you know, everyone is saying. What happened in the Barca game and what was Ter Stegen thinking on that goal conceded? Because I've watched that a few times and I'm just not really sure why he didn't even go for that.
My apologies.
You didn't hear a word I said, did you?
I was hearing it. I don't know if I wanted to unplug the headphones and because I had to put this down. It's been bothering me all this time. I missed the last part. Pick it up from the last part.
I posed you a question. What was Ter Stegen thinking on the goal conceded? Why didn't he go for that?
Come on.
I was confused about that.
Which one? I find that ridiculous. Didn't I say it last time? I said it on the last podcast. I said, I'm starting to hear people get really fucking critical with Ter Stegen.
I'm just asking about that particular play.
Piqué blocks his sight. You see him telling afterwards. Ter Stegen and Piqué exchange words, and you see Ter Stegen mimic or tell him, "I couldn't see the ball. You know, you were blocking it." I mean, if you're gonna point a finger at anyone in that play, it has to be Piqué for not picking up his man much sooner and trying to, you know, some sort of coverage, doing that like those jumps from far away, like to make it seem like you're blocking. Piqué should have been him on Santi Mina like flies on shit. So Ter Stegen, I'm not going to give the fault or the guilt here because he let that ball go in when, again, he was blocking his sight. Piqué was blocking his sight.
I feel like Piqué has been incredibly underwhelming since he came back in like almost every game he's played. We bar like a few moments in specific games where he's, you know, he's done well in certain situations. But I mean, in that situation, I think Piqué can close Mina better, but also like you're not, as a defender, you're not constantly checking your shoulder to see if you're blocking the goalkeeper's view. I mean, that's just, there's way too many things to think about. Like, I feel like Ter Stegen could have been better positioned too, but.
And that first goal was just freakish. I mean, that was, you know, hits it off the crossbar or, you know, whether that was a shot on goal or a cross, and then the rebound lands perfectly in front of the man. The thing is, it's just another one of those Barca games where we dropped them kind of points, and that's all I have to say. We're out. It was a great finish for La Liga. It was a four man's horse race until a few weeks ago. Then Sevilla fell off. Then until last match day, or let's say two ago, Barca were still in it, the third horse. Then we fell out, and now it's the last two horses to the finish line with Atletico a little bit in front, depending on themselves. And it's beautiful. Couldn't be scripted better. And I just, to God, hope that we're not going to see Real Madrid winning it. And Atletico fumble this ball because they're in the end zone now. They're running.
I had a dream last night, by the way. They're fate
in their own hands. And it's going to be crazy because Valladolid, have you been following the news on Valladolid?
No, what? What do you mean?
With OG Ronaldo, like he wasn't there for the last game to see his team fight for survival. You know where he was? It's so classic, Ronaldo.
Wow. Was he the Di Stefano or something?
Just imagine. A party? Or Perez or whatever. Huh?
At a party where?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Well, on a boat in Ibiza with this Brazilian actor sipping champagne.
I never looked at Ronaldo Nazario as that kind of owner who would like
come be on, like man. Religiously your team going is fighting for survival. Bro.
I know. I just
your
feel
team
like
is fighting for stay. Like, do you know how serious that is for a club? Money. Think of all the money, all the financial repercussions, man, of not being in the Spanish top flight, not being in La Liga Santander. Just that alone.
I know. I get it. I completely understand what you're saying. I'm just saying he never struck me as like that kind of president who would go to games. I kind of look at him as more of a Magic Johnson. You know, like when Magic Johnson was the GM of the Lakers, he really didn't want to do any work. He just wanted to like play golf, and like he had like 100 other businesses to run. He would just stop in.
He was different.
Not understanding his, like his what it took. His role
was different.
Yeah.
His role was different.
So for sure. That's yeah. I just feel like Ronald Nazario wasn't like, didn't buy this team to support them like that. That's just kind of how, that was my vibe right away with it. Like, he's just too big of a figure, probably.
Then he shouldn't have bought it, because that this team doesn't need a president, like an offhands president, man.
Exactly. You know? Or he should hire a president so that he can be a more passive owner.
More an ownership. So anyway, so that is going on in Valladolid right now. So there's like internal turmoil. Protesters came out and like a union of some sort to be like, you know, fuck this, basically. And I think he's coming out with a statement, or he did come out with something kind of defending what he was doing, because it's all posted on Instagram, obviously.
I didn't see any of this. That's
And anyway, so yeah, and they're fighting Atletico, man. They have to beat Atletico. So it'll be tough for both teams. I think this is a game where Atletico will suffer. This is not in the books, man. Madrid have got a chance to sneak up in there against a Villarreal again that is playing for everything. And that's the cool. I was happy to see that. I'm like, yes, they're out of the Europa League. They're playing for a spot in Europa League. Yes. So they're going to go for it. They have to.
Okay, so there's a couple things here. So
the lighting right now is crazy, right? Or am I, is that
it just got really dark. It got really dark. But let's focus for a second. You deviated from Barcelona, but that's okay. We'll circle back to them. Valladolid got destroyed by Real Sociedad on the weekend. I think if Ronaldo really wanted to apologize, the best way to do it would just to put his boots on and sign himself as a player and start against Atletico, because that may be our last chance at a title here. I think the fact that Valladolid are still in it is a huge thing, and it didn't look like they were going to be, but because of other results, they're still in it. So if they win against Atleti, based on, you know, other things that happened, I mean, they could be safe. They're probably safe. But it really depends on also what happens to Huesca. And we know that Getafe is safe, but Huesca, they also would have to lose, I think. So anyways, the point is that Valladolid have a chance right now. And Huesca plays against Valencia. So that's happening. The other one I think is really worth pointing out here is the fact that you mentioned Villarreal. I mean, that was a really bad situation for us. And now I'm really curious to know what they're going to do, because despite them winning, they are seventh, and Real Betis are ahead of them based on the head-to-head. And so now Villarreal, I feel like really it would be risky for them to start resting players against us and rely on Manchester United game. I feel like they should probably go with full strength in both and hope that they can recuperate in those 3 days. That's my humble suggestion to Unai Emery, who's a better manager than I am. I don't know, but it becomes interesting now to see what they do in that last game against Real Madrid. But can we circle back to Barca for a sec? Let's talk about aftermath. And I will read a question from our patron Kumar. He says, "Hi, Kian and Diego, hope you're doing great. What are some reinforcements Barcelona need to make position-wise when the season ends? Is it even possible with their debt? Finally, is it really time to cash in on Messi and use that money for rebuilding? I understand he still contributes a lot offensively, but this is purely from a financial standpoint." So the reason I'm reading this question now is because we have some news that Barcelona are going to take on a loan from Goldman Sachs. Lovely people, Goldman Sachs, really nice people, completely ethical group of financial.
Why the tone? What can I please the sarcasm? Why?
This was sarcasm, which is great people.
Oh, just say.
No, this is
I'm
no
curious.
Sarcasm.
Why?
No sarcasm.
But just say why. Why are you being sarcastic?
There's no sarcasm.
Why? They're
good people.
They're bankers.
Yeah.
They're bankers. So.
Yeah, they're just good people. Yeah, everyone can.
But why bring up whether they're good or bad? Just tell. Just,
oh, just nice
be,
people.
Be upfront about it. Goldman. Don't be passive aggressive.
Goldman himself.
Be open about it.
Nah, I'm good. I'm good. People can do their own research. So let's talk about that loan, because that's what the point of that was. Reportedly, $500 million, and he's going to use $100 million right off the bat to pay off some backdated, I guess, or some overdue wages to the players, which I guess $100 million, as much as it sounds like an astronomical figure, I guess, you know, those are the kind of figures we're talking about when we're talking about Barcelona wages. So do you want to take this question head on?
I'm not part of that.
You're not part of the 100
salary
million?
List.
No. It doesn't trickle to Barca TV?
That's not. No, those millies don't reach us.
I wanted the
pack of hyena. What?
I wanted to ask you about, like, you know, when we're talking about aftermath and stuff like that, where do you think this last loss leaves Koeman? And do you think he's basically, is there a chance he stays on? Like, what would you put the percentage on? Can you say that on the non-patron edition?
Say, look, I think it's very hard to put a percentage on it, because clearly, you know, Koeman is in a very delicate position right now. He's come off a string of not favorable or good results, which have put this team in a, you know, the situation is since it checked out of the La Liga title race. You know, where there are so many factors, so many things to think about in this case. You know, there's not just Koeman, the coach, who came at the hand of Bartomeu, even though that's part of it, right? I mean, this was not Laporta's guy. Not that Laporta had anybody or anybody under his wing, because he never really married anybody. But this is not his guy. So we've seen other heads roll already, right, on the board for reasons that are logical. Koeman wants to put his men into place, and the sporting department is, if not the most important, one of the most crucial. The whole team depends on that. So there are options. There are options. Options in Germany, options in Qatar, options in Manchester, each some more than others. Options in Liverpool. Klopp's name has been thrown in the mix. But they all come with a price, they all come with a risk, and they all come, again, to reiterate the first point I made, with a price. So keeping Koeman on is an option which still is there on the table, because he won a trophy and the club is in a position where, can they really afford to pay Koeman? I don't even know if Setien already got his, you know, money paid that they owed for like cutting the contract short. And the same would have to be done for Koeman. So I don't know how many millions we're talking about. Mourinho got 20 million from Tottenham. I'm sure Barca didn't sign that kind of agreement with Koeman, you know, but he still has a year left. So I don't know. There's that, Kian. It's hard for me to put a percentage whether Koeman will stay or not. I think, again, the fact that the sporting results results have been bad, that it leaves him in a very, very tough position where everybody's screaming for his head. If you ask, you know, the general public right now, 70-80% would want a change in manager in the polls that I've seen. And, you know, I think it's there have been questionable decisions, not just from the coaching perspective, but also on the field. I don't think the blame, or let's say, if we're gonna throw this, you know, mess, like, if we're gonna clean the sheets, right? If we're gonna like clean under the bed, then we might as well throw the whole bed over hope. I don't know how to say that in English. Let's throw the whole mess over and hope. Okay, I don't even know it in Dutch.
Can I slide in here? So yeah,
please slide in. You get what I'm saying, right? Yeah, I'm saying, like, if Koeman goes, then there's got to be like 6 to 8 players who need to go as well. And that's it.
No, I was just going to interject on that, the metaphor you're trying to bring up. I think it's like, it's easier to build a house from scratch than it is to, you know, to renovate it sometimes. No? Not feeling that one?
Say that again.
It's easier to build a house
from scratch. It's easier to build a house from scratch
than it is to just renovate a few things sometimes.
That's it. That's it. That's exactly what I'm saying. Thank you.
Although I don't know if you would need to buy a whole bed as an alternative to washing sheets. I think that would be a little bit too dramatic. But, you know, you could.
There's a saying where you say if you're going to clean the sheets, you might as well clean the whole bed, like under the bed. Okay,
clean the whole bed.
And it's like you flip the whole bed over, basically. Like you got to do a proper cleaning, like an intense cleaning. But I don't know how you translate that. It's in Dutch. You don't know how you translate it in English. So,
right. Yeah, anyway. So, I think you bring up a lot of interesting points. I mean, the financial part of it is one. Then there's a sporting aspect. And then I'm really, you know, Klopp is not going to be an option. There was that report that surfaced today. Like, if it was even ever going to be an option, Klopp said no, because he honors his contract with Liverpool, which is not a shock. But I don't think Koeman is the guy necessarily that you want to choose if you have to choose, if you can choose anyone in the world. But he's done a pretty decent job, all things considered, I think. There's a lot of things, mistakes he's made, a lot of flaws, a lot of, you know, maybe he's proven to be a little bit more versatile. We had all this discussion on the Fried podcast, so I don't want to rehash it. But there was one of the reports that
listens to the Friday pod. You can go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, just the gist of it was that it could have been better, it could have been worse. And Koeman inherited a team basically in a dumpster fire. Was a lot of turmoil behind the scenes, and he did a lot of good. He had a phase there where he structured the defense in a way that it was actually strengthened and the team was scoring goals. He incorporated a lot of young players, even if Puch was casted aside. So he's done a lot of good things. He's done a lot of bad things. It was not an easy situation to take over, right?
Yes.
So that was kind of that's the executive summary of what we talked about on Friday. But there was a report today that Messi is one of the players who has responded well to Koeman and actually seems to enjoy having him around. I mean, and if Messi approves of you, that's huge, if that's true. The other thing I wanted to say, this is kind of, and by the way, I think out of all the names, like if you had to choose between Xavi and Pimienta, for example, it's got to be somebody like Pimienta, because at least he has the Barca B experience and they're playing well under him as far as I know. And again, I don't watch Barca B, but as far as I know, he has like a lot of the principles and the DNA that you guys look for. Not that Xavi doesn't, but you know, Pimienta is doing a good job at Barca B. So that's an option. The other thing I thought about Xavi in one sense, that there was a report that there are, you know, there is a contingency of players in the team that want Xavi. And I thought to myself, that actually is a bad idea, that for that reason alone. Because imagine if, like, you know, you get Piqué and, I don't know, Sergio Roberto and some of these older guys, they want Xavi. All that means is now Xavi can't get rid of these aging players who are too comfortable, right? There's too much comfort, I think. Does that make sense? Like, if the players you want to phase out are the ones who want that manager, and you come in, now you can't get rid of those players. That I just don't think Xavi is the one who can kind of phase those guys out. Am I making sense here?
It makes sense. I just don't know if that's the case, if that would be the case. I could see a case where Xavi does actually get rid of them, and it's, hey, this is not personal, strictly business, baby. I know what's on the line here, and you guys are too fucking old. Sorry. I love you like a brother. You were my, you know, soldier next to me. We were warriors fighting for the same team. But if I want to win, which is what I want to do, my name is Xavi Hernandez, I have a legacy as a player and I have a great idea as a coach, and you guys don't cut it, you know, the mustard's gone off the hot dog, boys.
To be fair to PK, he did say, was it again after the Bayern loss, that, like, you know, if he's holding the team back, he'll step aside, right? You know, I think it, you know, he did say that, to be fair. So
yeah, he did.
Yeah.
And to be really honest, like, some of them don't look like they're having that good of a time now. So if this is only about money and they want to see out their contracts because they're getting paid fat money, then they either really accept the bench role, some of them, and change their attitude and stop casting this shadow over the players in the dressing room, or they got to go.
Where did you want to go from here? Do you want to
let's see if I could hit the bottle over there real quick. And I would like to shimmy on over to Hey My G, because I have a lot of questions for you right now. I've basically told you, giving you an in-depth breakdown on what the fuck I was doing on Sunday at 6:30 in the PM, watching these games, soothing the pain. And now, please tell me, how was the experience for you? Thinking that you were ahead in La Liga, you were about to win it, and then seeing Barca lose, but then Atletico in those final dying minutes. Eight final minutes, was it?
Something like that. Yeah, well, it was the only thing I can... It's kind of like... A good analogy I can think of is when I was a kid, I went to the Tower of Terror Disney World ride. And it's something that I was terrified of, and because I'm really scared of heights. And, you know, I'm not huge on thrill rides. I'm not that kind of like guy. I'd rather probably just rather like have an espresso and sit down and, you know, maybe go down the odd water slide or something. But I did it. I did it because my younger sister, who's like 7 years younger than me, was like super pumped. And I was like, if she's excited for this, I can't wuss out. I have to at least say I did it. So I did it because I just want to say I did it. And it's the Tower of Terrors is this elevator that takes you basically into the sky and then drops you 30 floors, like really fast. And then it stops before it hits the ground. Yeah.
I want to do that.
Yeah. It's so, I don't know if that's still exists. That was when I was younger. So anyways, the crazy thing about it is there's an anticipation that you don't know when it's going to drop. You just know that it's going to, because it's completely pitch black in the elevator. And you're sitting down.
Oh my gosh.
And so like, you just know that at one point it's going to drop. You don't really even have an indication of like when that is. And just all of a sudden. And so like the whole time, like, oh shit, oh shit. Anyways.
Crazy. That'll fuck with you, man. Yeah. People must've gotten heart attacks or shat their pants.
It was wild. Yeah, it was wild. So it was done and I was relieved it was done. And anyways, I don't know. Explain the ride. I don't even know if this analogy even makes sense for what I'm trying to explain, because the Tower of Terror. When you're going up the elevator, it's not like, oh yeah, we're going up the elevator. It's more like, oh shit, we're going.
Well, it was. Okay.
Yeah. Right. So anticipation
to like, oh, yeah. Something's about to go down. Yeah, and it's excitement because you're there for fun. It's pleasurable.
So there was a period when. Right. It was like after Osasuna had scored the 1-0. I think at that point, Correa had scored Lodi scores the equalizer. And then Raul Garcia gets a red card in our game against us.
Mm-hmm.
And that should be so celebratory. Like when arch enemy Raul Garcia gets a red card against us. It's like, and you're about to win the league title, or at least like come to the last match day on top. And then as soon as Raul Garcia gets the red card, the camera pans to Suarez scoring the goal at the Wanda. And it's like
beautiful.
So that's
and then the boys is jumping on him, that joy, that sheer pleasure.
Oh, I couldn't watch that.
He scored. He felt that goal. He really felt that goal. I loved seeing it, man. Like seeing him try and miss and miss. Like you said, he had so many chances on goal, and that sheer and utter liberation at the end there, putting that goal in the two after being down as well. It was great. Like the goals were nice. There was beautiful touch football. You know, not very Atletico like, let's say those two goals neither. And it was, I was very happy, man. I was very so relieved. I was like,
bad defending by Osasuna. Very disappointing.
I gotta say, like, however good the night ended, because you know, then obviously we saw Barca. I'm sorry if I'm skipping ahead. Then we saw Barca win the Champions League, thumping Chelsea. I had food poison later on, so the night actually did finish very bad for me. I didn't sleep, I didn't even sleep half an hour. I was on, like, I went to bed around. I went to bed late, like around 2 a.m. Half from 2:30 to 6:30, I was on the toilet having an awful time. Couldn't Thank even you. Go to work the next day. I had to call in, you know, I worked God. From home. Well, yeah, it was bad. It was bad.
Well, how do I follow that up? What the hell am I supposed to do with that?
How did you finish the night? So you still haven't told me what did it feel like when Luis Suarez put that goal in? You talked about, you gave me the description. You set the scene for me, but I want to know about you, Kian Sobani. You guys were, you know, there, man.
Number just one emptiness, spot. Man. Emptiness. It's like, you know, when it's the hope that gets you, because when I remember in 2013, I think it was, when we lost to Borussia Dortmund in the Champions League semifinals. We lose the first 4-1, and we gotta go back to the Bernabeu for this remontada that I didn't feel like was ever gonna happen. So I went into that game with no expectations. But then all of a sudden, Ramos scores, and then it was like 2-0, and there's like 1 minute left. It's like, oh my God, hope. And then the final whistle blows, it's like you know, it just like your soul kind of sinks, yeah. You know, probably know, similar to the way when Barca
just sounds better
almost came back against PSG in the second leg, or at least was like playing well at halftime. Right. Remember? And then all of a sudden you got this hope and then it was done. So that's kind of where I was.
Penalty miss, yeah.
I forgot. I was trying to say this earlier in the podcast. I had a dream last night. I had a dream last night that I was watching the Real Madrid Villarreal game. Next week, and we won that game.
Uh-huh.
And because I had zero faith in Atletico dropping points, I didn't watch the game, and I just pretended like we lost a league title. And then I woke up, and I was like, "Let me just check to see what Atletico did last night." And in terms of Atletico lost that game 2-0 to Valladolid, and I didn't know we were league champions because I didn't bother to even check the Atletico score. So. I don't know, just throwing it out there just in case it comes true. You have it on record here. So,
you got to stay true to your dream. You got to stay true to your word. Stay true to it. So, watch Madrid and then just fully block yourself off to any other news for the next 12 hours, let's say. Go to bed, wake up the next day, and then find out what happened.
I'll try. I can't promise they won't pop that up on the screen, no matter how hard I try to avoid it. But, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing.
So yeah, that's where we are. I feel like we got to wrap it up because I got to run. But any concluding thoughts?
Okay.
NBA play-in starts tonight, by the way.
Oh, okay. That wasn't going to be part of my concluding thoughts. But thanks for that.
I threw it at you.
Make sure to. It'll be good. I'm going to be doing. Yeah, I'm commentating the EuroLeague, the Final Four for Barca. So that's next week, though.
Okay.
The semis. And the final, hopefully, but concluding, that's for next week. No, other than just cool ending of La Liga. Shame that Barca checked out the way it did, but good for the Madridistas and Colchoneros. I wish you the best, Colchoneros. Madridistas, nothing but bad luck.
Thank you for that. We will. We will. I think we will have to hold our promise of bringing in a Colchonero if they win the league. That's.
Hey, somebody mentioned somebody on Twitter, and it was like a Colchonero with like way more followers than me, even you. I think he had like 15,000 or something, and he said, "Yeah, I'll do it." I don't know who that person was though.
Ewan?
Did you see that?
No.
No, it wasn't Ewan. No. I have to fucking know Ewan, man.
I thought maybe.
Ewan, I know you.
Anyway,
I would like to. I mean, it would be right to have a Colchonero, but I feel like it should be Ewan in that case.
Okay,
because that's like
or
Colchonero.
I mean, I hope that we don't have to invite him in and they don't win the league, but you know, we know what the probabilities are. So yeah.
Plus, I have some bones to pick with him with regards to the Super League, and him, I want to know I want to understand his stance and have a reasonable conversation with him, like you and I have.
Okay.
Don't punk out me, because I know that our ideas overlap. When Ewan comes on, you're gonna be like trying to corner me. You're like, yeah, this fucking capitalistic bastard, fucking the man, football's for the fans, a little man. I'll be like, fuck you, can't.
All right, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. All right, Diego, thanks, man. Enjoy your week. We'll be back actually before the last get. the last game, because we'll be back Friday over on patreon.com/chorositactica. So thanks, guys, for listening. Thanks for watching. We'll put this on YouTube as well, the video version. And oh, shit, we will. Right. I know you forgot to record. I record on my end. It's okay. All right. We'll talk soon. Thanks, Diego. Peace.
All right. You too. Peace. Sports Social Podcast Network.